Welcome back to the Oklahoma Drill, everybody. It's a good old Friday.
Yep, a little late in the week this week,
but it's fine.
You know, we have stuff.
Yeah, it's, for reasons that will become obvious, we decided to wait until we had some good time to do this one, and because nobody really needs a preview of this weekend's game, it wasn't like a time issue. So
guess how many stats we have pulled up ready to go for Kansas.
It's a really very extremely low number. Because it's zero.
Yeah, it's as low as it gets.
Technically, I do have one stat pulled up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's the last time we lost to Kansas.
Okay.
It was in 1997. But more important than Kansas, which we might have just finished talking about Kansas. We'll see if we think of anything later. The playoff rankings this week. So, a lot of controversy here with the top four being... From 4-1, Oklahoma, Miami, Clemson, Alabama.
Yeah, and I think, you know, watching it, you know, because obviously they skip from 7-1.
Yeah.
You know, and immediately, whenever you see Clemson at 2, I was like, oh, wow, we're actually going to be 4? Like,
yeah.
I was pretty sure we were going to be number 3.
Just,
I thought they would move up Miami to 2.
Yeah.
Because they had a really, really impressive win over number 3, Notre Dame.
Frankly, Miami should be ranked number 1 right now. If the committee's ranking system had any internal logic, or at least followed their stated logic, Miami should absolutely be number 1 right now.
Yes. You're probably right. But, I mean, the biggest controversy as it pertains to OU is that Clemson is ahead of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Mostly because they've... beaten more 500 teams.
That was the stated reason. They're also getting a pretty significant pass for losing their quarterback when they actually did lose. When they lost to Syracuse, they lost their quarterback before halftime.
4-6 Syracuse.
Yeah. So it's just a strange excuse to me.
Yeah.
And that's really my whole thing with this. I honestly don't really care, because I honestly think OU is going to be fine regardless. We just need to win.
I don't think it matters, but it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Joel Klatt actually did a pretty good job of enumerating why it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, they expect us, it would, we tune into these things, and we've talked about how we're part of the problem because we watch this.
Yeah.
But, like, we tune into these things expecting to be able to understand what is happening, and so consistently there, like, the logic is so slapdash and changes from week to week and year to year.
Right. Yeah, it's fairly obvious that they just kind of move the goalposts in terms of what they are using to basically justify their decision. Like, they have what they think Alabama and Clemson are the best two teams in the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know why they do, so then after that, they have to come up with reasons. That's kind of how I view it.
Yeah, and it's just like the thing, like the stated, like the fact that their understanding of strength of schedule is entirely based on number of bowl-eligible teams you play.
Yeah, it's pretty perplexing, to say the least, I would say.
Yeah.
Because to me, a quality win, you know, if you're playing... even a team in, like, the 20 to 30 range, if you're a top 4 team in the country, you should win that game no matter where you're playing it relatively easily. But when you get up into, like, the top 12, top 15 range, like, that's where those teams are, you know, there's not a huge gap there, especially in a year like this.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, you know, as obviously as an Oklahoma fan, I'm biased, but... you know, OU having 3 top 15 wins.
Yeah.
Like, that just
should
overshadow anything that Clemson has done.
It,
you know?
Yeah.
No. Not to mention OU has beaten multiple 5-5 teams that they're just not getting credit for.
Yeah.
Because they're 5-5. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And Oklahoma's loss to 6-4 Iowa State had its number of significant injuries. Top receiver. The, you know,
Starting running back.
Starting running back. Point. Who got hurt. Yeah. I couldn't remember who was hurt in that game.
Yeah.
You know, Rodney Anderson is playing entirely differently than he was. Which is which is another thing that the committee has talked about in previous years, as examining teams as they were in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, which they're...
which is what they're claiming to do with Clemson.
Yeah.
And in their loss.
Are they doing it? Are they not doing it? It's so inconsistent. And, yeah, I have always thought that the committee was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there should... I'm fine with the playoff. I think the playoff's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
But having it chosen by committee will satisfy no one.
Right.
Because it's...
I mean, it satisfies the team that's, like, number one.
Yeah.
You know, and... But, you know, before in the BCS era, it was the number three team was always super mad.
Yeah.
And now it's just the number five team.
It's
But instead of, like, computers being at fault, it's literally, we know the exact people that are at fault now.
Yeah.
So it's basically worse in that way.
Yeah. And the thing with the BCS computers is you could just sort of throw your hands up and say, like, listen, this is what, the, like, an algorithm thought of this.
Yeah.
Whereas, like... I don't know. With a person, it's like a person has to defend its opinion. A computer doesn't have to defend its equation. Like,
no, it doesn't. It can't. And it's, yeah, I agree. Whenever they decided to go to the committee, I thought, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep the BCS. The BCS, I think, for the most part, did a really decent job of ranking teams. It was just the fact that only two teams had a chance to win the championship every year. That was kind of dumb, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now that, you know, you increase the number to four, why not just let the BCS system have, you know, decide it? You know, obviously, I think the perfect system is an 18 playoff where, I don't know, and this is still not perfect, but where all of the conference champions get a chance to play for a national championship.
And I would even be fine with a 16 playoff with the Power 5 champions and a wild card.
Right.
Like, but yeah, no. As it stands, the committee is probably the worst way to do this. Like,
yeah. In terms of, you know, because there's always going to be a conference left out. If Notre Dame ever gets its stuff together, there's going to be two conferences left out.
Yeah.
So, it's just it's a rough situation. I've never been one to think that. I don't think the committee hates Oklahoma. I really don't.
I don't think that the committee has a detectable bias towards specific schools or specific teams.
Yeah.
I just think that frequently their logic is flawed.
And I
think it manifests, it sometimes it feels like it's a bias towards Oklahoma because their logic is flawed in ways that consistently harm Oklahoma.
Right.
Like, because of thinking like, because like axioms like defense wins championships and a refusal to look at advanced statistics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they clearly do not put the same value on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
They clearly value defense over everything else. Like, that's been clear since the beginning of this process.
Mm-hmm.
They can't look at the fact that Oklahoma's offense seems to be so elite that it really doesn't matter how good the defense they're going up against is.
Yeah.
You know, they just can't get past that. They can't put the fact that Oklahoma's defense hasn't been good, but... You know, when they've played elite teams, it just hasn't mattered.
Yeah.
Because it was good enough against Ohio State, which is one of the best offenses in the country from advanced statistics, from an advanced statistics
and
standpoint.
It's the stated goal of the playoff committee is to put the four best teams in the country in the playoff.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that, is that the best way to do that is with advanced statistics. And, like, advanced statistics right now say that the best four teams in the country are, like, Ohio State, Alabama, Wisconsin, and Miami. Like,
right.
That's not going to be the playoff.
Yeah, and I don't even know. To me, it's tough to just say put the best four teams when I really think it should really lean towards put the four most deserving teams.
It absolutely should, because otherwise, like, this feels like the sort of thing Nick Saban would say, is why would you even play the games?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
why would you ever play a game that could potentially make you look bad?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It should be about most deserving. And the wild thing is that their reasoning has tended towards most deserving teams end up getting in the playoff.
Right.
Like, teams are rewarded for winning a conference championship when that doesn't really have anything to do with if they're the best team in the world or not.
Yeah.
Like, most deserving is what they're actually doing. It's just that they say best, and that, like, as a result, there will always be, like, irreconcilable contradictions in their logic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think a good example of how they, you know, it is inconsistent because last year they did put Ohio State in the playoff. They were not a conference champion. They lost to Penn State.
Yeah.
But I think the main reason they did is just they thought Ohio State was better. And
yeah.
You know, in terms of what they proved over the course of their 13-game schedule, they probably were better.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, like, this just, we're in a situation where the committee gets to do whatever it feels like.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any accountability.
No.
And, you know, it's going to lean to situations, even if it's not intentional, it's going to lead to situations where teams feel like they got screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty confident, like, if Oklahoma doesn't make it this year, yeah, I'll feel 100% like they got screwed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. We want to talk about, like, pretty much the only way Oklahoma doesn't get in if they went out, because there's really only one scenario, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, essentially what needs to happen in order for Oklahoma to not make it in the playoff, Wisconsin has to win out.
Yeah.
Because there needs to be just an extra team.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Yeah, because if Wisconsin wins the Big Ten as a one-loss team, they're not getting it over Oklahoma because they literally haven't played it. Like, their schedule is bad. Like, it's just not a good schedule.
Yeah.
So they need to be undefeated to get it over Oklahoma.
Yeah. So if Wisconsin wins out as the Big Ten champion... and then, depending on how the ACC championship goes, is that where we're going with this?
Well, I'm talking more... Because there is going to be an ACC team in, let's say, for this argument, you know, let's say Clemson wins the ACC championship.
Clemson wins.
Because Miami at one loss, if they don't win the ACC, they're not getting in.
Yeah, their resume is also not as good.
Yeah, their resume is not as good. They don't have as many quality wins.
Yeah.
So they don't have... the ability to overcome losing their conference championship game, even if it's their first loss.
So we're looking at Wisconsin. We're looking at Clemson.
Yeah.
This
is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Is that the SEC? Obviously, we know that the SEC is kind of king. You know, and the committee loves the SEC.
Yeah.
It's not just like the top teams. If you look, they don't punish lower level teams in the SEC as much. Like they didn't punish Mississippi State. Didn't move at all.
Yeah.
For losing. Whereas, look at Washington. They moved down 9 spots after losing on the road to Stanford.
Yeah.
On a Friday night. They moved down 9 spots, whereas Mississippi State moves none.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're able to prop up Alabama because they're sitting at, like, number 16, you know? So,
yeah. So, like, Alabama is currently in a situation where they're number one in the country and they haven't really beaten anybody.
Right.
Note.
Yeah. Best win is Mississippi State.
Yeah. So, that's a situation where... Alabama could finish the year with one loss and end up in the playoff anyways.
Yeah, and in this scenario would be that they would have to lose, an undefeated Alabama would have to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. Probably isn't going to happen, folks. Yeah.
But if that happens,
incredibly likely.
If that happens, it's very difficult to say that Georgia doesn't deserve to be in the playoff as SEC champion with a win over the number one team.
Yeah, Georgia would make it, for sure. And so at that point, automatically, you're looking at Georgia, Clemson, and an undefeated Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That comes down, basically you're coming down to Oklahoma and Alabama.
Yeah.
And, you know, on paper and logically thinking, you would think, oh, OU deserves to get in.
One loss Big 12 champion with like 4 top 15 wins.
Yeah.
But Alabama's Alabama.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what the committee would do. I wish I could say comfortably, they would pick Oklahoma because it's the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the committee might get in a situation where they think that they have to pick the 4 best teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could convince themselves that Alabama is better than Oklahoma. And they might be right. But I don't think anyone could look at the resume of those two teams and determine that Alabama is more deserving to get in.
Yeah. This is the wild thing, is that if you want to find out how Alabama is better than Oklahoma, you either have to cite advanced statistics or sort of lie.
You cite advanced S&P Plus, you cite, you know, what, you know, any kind of...
Yeah, S&P Plus, FPI,
other
things like that. Or you just say that you feel like they are, and that's not going to...
And that's not a good
reason.
That
doesn't pass muster, like...
No. So it's an interesting situation, but, I mean, honestly, this might be a moot point tomorrow, because Wisconsin could lose to Michigan.
Yeah, we actually both think they probably will.
Michigan's playing better now. Michigan's more talented than Wisconsin. So, you know, this could just end tomorrow, you know, or Auburn beats Alabama in a couple weeks and then there's no conversation here. It's just not a thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in a situation, like, do we want to talk, did we talk about this last week about what we think the best scenario for Oklahoma would be in the playoff?
Yeah.
I don't think we did.
We've been
too worried about talking about this because
yeah.
it could have come crashing down so easily.
Yeah. So the thing about the situation with Oklahoma in the playoff is that there's not really that bad of a team to go up against. Mm-mm. Theoretically, Alabama, because you don't want to play Alabama in the first round.
Yeah.
But there's not a team that passes the ball particularly well.
No.
And if a team can't pass the ball on our defense, it can't expose how genuinely awful our defense is.
Yeah. Yeah, our defense seems to be able to stand up against one-dimensional teams
yeah.
if that one dimension is running.
Yeah. Our defense can stop the run if it doesn't have to worry about the pass.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it. So there's a lot of favorable matchups, and there are certainly situations where you can devise playoff scenarios in which I think we would be the favorite to win.
Yeah.
Know? We're the only team that can just, you know, I was listening to a podcast with Bud Elliott, and he asked, I think, Morgan Moriarty who he thought would be, he just wouldn't want to play in the playoff if it were him. And he said Oklahoma because
yeah.
they're the only team capable of just putting 40 on you, you know?
Yeah. Like, and this is the thing about Oklahoma is that it's the offense, our offense is the best unit in the country.
Yeah.
It's led by the best player in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our offense is historically great in a time when most teams are kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I don't know if I talked about this last week on the podcast, but, like, the number one team in the country right now would be, like, the sixth-ranked team in 2016.
Yeah. I think we did talk about this. But, yeah, it's just kind of a down year across the board.
Yeah.
And so Oklahoma, as flawed as they are, has a legit chance. So I've kind of been thinking about this, and I think the best possible scenario for Oklahoma is I think Georgia makes it. I think Georgia's a good matchup for us. So let's say they're the one seed, because I think if they beat Alabama, they would work their way back up to the one. I think Wisconsin's a good matchup for us.
Yeah.
And then this scenario, Georgia beat Auburn in the SEC championship, so we don't have to worry about Alabama.
Yeah. This is a situation in which Alabama gets beaten by Auburn.
Yeah.
And then Auburn somehow loses to a team
it just destroyed. Yeah. But just in terms of pure best matchup for Oklahoma, Georgia, I think I'm not terribly frightened of Miami. I think they're playing really well right now.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of their success is kind of based on being able to force turnovers.
Yeah.
And teams like that just don't really scare me that much. They can't mm-hmm. throw the ball particularly well. They've had trouble stopping the run against teams this year. So it seems to be a team that we could be two-dimensional against.
Yeah.
And then I'm not worried about – I mean, Wisconsin to me is just – they're a really good football team. They are not an elite talent football team.
Yeah.
They do really well. They're well coached. They do a lot of things well. Alex Hornibrook is not scaring me at
no.
night, you know?
No.
So if you could give me a situation where, like, heck, maybe we're the four seed and we get to play Georgia in the first round and then the winner of Miami and Wisconsin in the national championship game,
yeah,
I'll take that all day.
Absolutely.
What do you think the worst matchup would be? Or do you have a better matchup, you think?
A better set of matchups?
Yeah.
No, that's about it. I think that's about as ideal. I don't think it's super likely.
It's not likely at all. But
I think the worst thing that could happen for us is to have to play Alabama in the first round.
Yeah.
Not even because I think we would lose necessarily guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's just that playing Alabama sucks.
Yeah.
And your team gets beat up because of it.
Yeah. Well, and you're giving Nick Saban a lot of time.
Yeah.
To prepare his team. You know, and so playing, you would rather play Alabama in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Than in that first round matchup.
Yeah.
Another, I don't want to play Clemson.
No.
I don't think Clemson's amazing this year, but man.
No. And I don't.
I can't get out of my head what they've done to us the last two times we've played.
Brent Venables is just really good at what he does.
He is.
And
they have ridiculous athletes all over that field.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, offensively, Kelly Bryant might be the best quarterback in this group of players, which is kind of funny, but like, he might be the best quarterback, you know? So they could present our defense some problems. They're a good football team. Like, let's not kid ourselves. And the matchup that really scares me is that if everything just kind of goes crazy and Ohio State finds a way to get into the playoff.
Yeah, I absolutely have no intention of ever playing Ohio State ever again.
I don't want to, yeah. They're not big fans of ours.
No.
I don't want to play them. I think Ohio State's really freaking good.
Yeah.
First of all, like, they're an elite football team when they want to be.
Yeah.
They've been super inconsistent this year. Like, when they've been bad, they've been bad this year. But when they've been good, they've blown everybody out that they played.
Yeah.
Except for the games that they lost.
Yeah, it's like, if you look at per S&P Plus, they're the number one team in S&P Plus.
Yeah.
Even with two embarrassing losses.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at their, like, percentile performances in those games, like, every game apart from the two they lost, they're, like, in the 90th percentile
of
performance. Like, they're almost perfect.
Yeah. They're a great football team, and they would be pissed off to see Baker Mayfield again. And that's just, and, like, I don't know how much that would really play into it, but, like, I don't want to see, you know? Like, I just want Ohio State away from my playoff. Maybe, you know, maybe Michigan can take, I don't know. We're putting a lot of hope in Michigan.
Yeah, they're not great.
No, they're not an amazing team. But they are going to be playing Ohio State at home this year, so maybe that'll help out.
Yeah.
And maybe Ohio State just decides they don't care or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I doubt that they would not show up for the game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that would be, to me, the worst matchup for OU is if it's Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, that's the four best programs in the country also, which is, I mean, for a football fan, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, it would be an incredible playoff.
Yeah.
You know, it would be kind of, yeah.
The ratings would be just through the roof.
Absolutely. But not great for Oklahoma.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying I don't think I think we could win that. Like, we are capable of being the best team in the country. It's just that would be the hardest road to take to win the national championship.
Let's that's the playoff, essentially.
That's the playoff. Do you want to talk about Kansas much?
Okay. The only thing I know that's of any note is that the defensive line is still pretty good. They've got some talents on
the defensive line. They have two really good defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley, okay, I'm gonna be honest, I haven't kept up with Kansas at all this year, except for the fact that they're just, like, horrendous.
Yeah.
But they do have two players on that defensive front that could cause some problems. Obviously, Dorrance Armstrong, we know about him from last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have a defensive tackle, and I'm trying to look up his name real quick because, again, I just don't pay attention to him because they're unbelievably irrelevant.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that Lincoln Riley said would be the best defensive tackle we've played all season, and that includes against Ohio State.
Yeah. So, like, stud defensive tackles in particular are worrisome to me.
Yeah.
Because the interior of our line has not always held up great to, like, bull rush pass rushes. Like,
right. Yeah, and I just don't want Baker to get hurt.
Like, absolutely.
That's really the main, like, we just need to win this game, and Baker needs to not get hurt. That's the main goal from this game. You know, hopefully Kyler Murray gets a lot of playing time. I'm not having any success finding the name of this guy.
Okay.
But just know.
Watch out for that, you know, nameless fury in the interior.
Lincoln Riley is really high on his ability. He was really, remember, this is kind of funny. It's funny that these, like, the worst teams we've played this year have, like, some seemingly really talented linemen. Because remember UTEP had that ridiculous guard?
Yeah.
And now Kansas has, like, two really good defensive linemen. So that's kind of cool. But, you know, it'll give Bobby Evans and Orlando Brown and Eric, it'll give them something to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
that's kind of cool. No. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's Daniel Wise. That could be something. Maybe it's Keyshawn Simmons.
These are names.
I don't know. These are people that I'm reading off of their roster. So I'm going to try one more thing.
All right. So as far as like what this game is going to look like, I mean, I expect us to try and end it as quickly as possible so we can get Baker off of the field as quickly as possible would be my guess.
Yeah.
Expect Kyler Murray in this game, which we've been wanting more of basically all year.
Okay. I have a name. It's okay. Daniel Wise.
Daniel Wise. I
just like
it
just
was
like
Daniel
I just
Wise.
Said,
yeah.
You know, obviously I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Lincoln Riley said, quote, Daniel Wise is the best defensive lineman OU will face this year. That's counting Ohio State. That's counting anybody.
That's pretty impressive.
So, good for Daniel. He's obviously got a future in football.
Yeah.
You know, cool.
Sorry you go to Kansas, though.
Yeah. You know, it'd be cool if you'd not go to Kansas.
Yeah.
But, as we're about to talk about, things are going to be looking up.
Yeah. All right. So we promised this. We told you that this was going to be the thing we bring to you next week. So here it is, our coaching carousel. It's time. It's time to start talking about hires. And so we've got a list of jobs that are either already open or about to come open. And then two jobs that are likely to come open. And then the spots that we have to fill from filling those.
Right.
So the schools we have that are going to come open are Florida, Tennessee, UCLA, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Oregon State. With two jobs that we think are likely to pop open in Texas Tech and Kansas.
Yep. And so obviously through that we filled them with some existing coaches, so we had to fill those jobs as well.
Yeah.
In total, so we got 8, 10... So we've got 16 jobs that we filled our carousel.
This is a pretty active carousel.
Yeah. And, you know, there obviously will be more. We didn't go as far, like, we filled basically down to, like, the American Conference. Like, if we took a coach out of the American, we filled that job.
Yeah.
Anything below that, we kind of were just like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah, that's fine. So, let's start. We sort of listed these in order of prominence.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think, honestly, I think the guy we have to start with is Chip Kelly. Because he's... Yeah. When we initially started, we were kind of like, who do we think we would want to hire if we were that specific school and we wanted to be as good as we could? But then as we kind of went, it just was more fun to fill out who we wanted to go where.
Exactly.
So it kind of morphed into that.
Yeah. So, like, we started with Florida getting Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Which is, like,
weirdly
well-rumored at the moment.
Yeah. And, like, it makes sense because Florida fans want to score points. And, you know, it's just, that's cool. But, Chip Kelly isn't super into, like, he doesn't like dealing with boosters.
He hates boosters. He doesn't really like college.
Yeah, he doesn't really like recruiting either. So... We were just like, Florida might be a little bit too much for Chip Kelly.
It's just a little too college for Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
I think. So we put him at UCLA.
Yeah, and part of this also, we were having trouble filling UCLA with a really quality coach. And to me, it just makes so much sense because he obviously has had his most success as a coach in the Pac-12.
Mm.
He knows what it's about. Like, he was great up at Oregon. And if he's at UCLA, he doesn't like recruiting, but it's not particularly hard to recruit in Southern California at UCLA. You know, and if you're winning, you're going to get guys to come there.
Yeah, it's the place that makes this the biggest non-issue.
Yeah.
It means he doesn't have to, like, get into SEC recruiting battles.
Right. And he's not the biggest thing going at that school because that's a basketball school.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he can kind of, he'll be a big deal there, but he won't be the deal. He won't be like, it won't be like being at Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we thought it was just a really, really good fit, Chip Kelly at UCLA. So let's go to Florida now.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, that took the best coach off the board.
Yeah. So we had to get a little adventurous with Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being that a thing about Florida fans that I think is pretty honestly reasonable of them is that they... winning is good, but it needs to be interesting.
Yeah.
To hold their attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't go a defensive guy. They've done
right.
The technically Jim McElwain was an offensive guy, but
yeah.
He was an offensive guy for Nick Saban. So let's cool the Jets there. We took a bit of a risk and just pulled up Scott Frost from UCF.
Yeah. And this guy, I mean, by all accounts, is like a budding superstar as a coach.
Yeah.
You know, he's turned UCF around and quickly. You know, obviously, I think they're top five in S&P Plus right now because they just kill everybody.
Yeah, like they have a, they're probably, when I compiled that list of top 25 offenses in the S&P Plus era, they were a weird, like, number four.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Like, their offense is really good.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, he was the offensive coordinator at Oregon the year Mariota won the Heisman. Like, he's been in charge of some really good offenses.
Yeah, he's part of, I mean, he's part of the Chip Kelly system. He's, apart from Mark Helfrich, who, we forgot about Mark Helfrich and all of this, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's the next guy in line in terms of the Chip Kelly legacy. So, Tim to Florida, I think, makes a lot of sense, especially if they don't get Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's potentially just a younger Chip Kelly, you know, so, and that could go really well down there. And he's already in Florida, so he's kind of got, he's at least got some
connections.
Yeah. So to us, it just makes sense there.
Yeah.
So obviously the guy that we didn't put there that, you know, has been heavily rumored and it makes sense to go to Florida, but Dan Mullen.
Yeah. Dan Mullen, we're actually going to put at Tennessee instead, saving them the horror of a John Gruden hire.
Yeah, that's just as bad as
it's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea.
It's a horrendous idea. I can't believe that there exists a college football fan base that is into that.
Yeah. We don't even need to talk about it
anymore.
You're
welcome, Tennessee. Dan Mullen. You get Dan Mullen.
And this is probably the safest hire Tennessee could make because, you know, you're at a little bit more advantageous a situation at Tennessee. Than you are at Mississippi State. You can recruit a little bit better talent.
Yeah.
You're in an easier division, which helps. The problem is they have to play Alabama every year, which their fans, for whatever reason, wouldn't have it any other way, but it sucks as a coach to have to play that team every year.
Yeah, it does. It means that you basically always have the hardest schedule in the SEC East.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, Dan Mullen, Tennessee's definitely a step up from Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe, I mean, Dan Mullen might not take this job. Like it, I could see him being like, "I'm good here. I'm kind of doing all right. I'll wait till Scott Frost fails at Florida or something. I don't know."
Yeah, that's the sort of thing where it's like we're doing Tennessee a favor here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if Dan Mullen, let's follow this chain because this is our first chain.
Yeah,
really. So Dan Mullen leaves Mississippi State.
Yep.
So Mississippi State has got to hire a guy, and this is a challenging one because Mississippi State is a school that shouldn't win very much.
No.
And was like, Dan Mullen did a really good job making them capable and like bringing in guys like Dak Prescott and now Nick Fitzgerald. Like,
he's done great with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that's what Tennessee needs. Holy crap.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So with Mississippi State, we went to the American Conference.
Yeah.
We went with Mike Norvell.
Mike Norvell out of Memphis.
You know, he's kind of, you know, kept the success that, you know, Justin Fuente started there kind of going.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not, I think this would be a slam dunk hire for Mississippi State.
Absolutely. This guy, he's an up and comer.
Yeah.
He's
another situation where he just might not take it. But
for
this exercise,
he's taken.
He was more than happy to go down to Starkville and deal with the Cowbells.
Yeah. So, as a result, now Memphis is open.
Yeah.
We decided that Memphis is going to keep on this sort of offense train.
Mm-hmm.
So they are hiring Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator at Penn State.
Yep. And this is a guy that, you know, people have linked with bigger jobs. But, you know, Memphis is, at this point, about as good a stepping stone job as there is in the country. Just the way things are running for them right now. And after this particular job, you know, opening again, this is the second straight coach that has left for greener pastures. So, it could be an attractive place for a guy like Joe Moorhead to get his head coaching experience.
Agreed.
At the FBS level,
yeah,
started. And so that pretty much ends, you know, because we're not going to go into who Penn State
hires
as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that.
All right. So, yeah.
That takes us to A&M.
A&M. So, Kevin, someone out.
Yep.
In comes, this is a great hire, Chad Morris out of SMU.
Yeah, and this one's been rumored for years. Like, this is the guy that most people have kind of earmarked as the replacement for Kevin Sumlin.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a ton of sense. He's in Texas already.
Yeah. He is like the Texas guy at this point, honestly.
Yeah.
He's got incredible connections to the high schools down there.
Mm-hmm. The guy would recruit his butt off down there. It
Absolutely.
Would happen. He's recruited well at SMU. Like, he would recruit really well down there. It would be really annoying for us as an Oklahoma fan.
Absolutely.
In all honesty. And it would help this year in this class in 2018. But
yeah,
in terms of moving forward, it might really help
A&M
in terms of the recruiting. I don't know how just great Chad Morris is as a football coach. He's a really good offensive mind, though, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he was the kind of the guy who got things rolling at Clemson offensively.
He was.
Dude's a great offensive coordinator. Do we want to keep rolling? Because this one we filled with a guy that gets fired.
So, just think. SMU is open.
I think we should save this one.
Yeah, we're going to save this one.
Okay.
Hold that in your head. SMU is open.
Yes.
Next we've got Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right. Nebraska is going to make a hire that friend of the pod, Nathan Hill, has really been into, which is Matt Campbell.
Yeah, great hire.
Yeah. Scott Frost also makes sense here. He's from Nebraska.
Yeah.
This was his thing. But, no, Matt Campbell.
Florida's just a way better job.
Florida is way better.
Yeah.
So, with Matt Campbell coming out of Iowa State, you're talking about a guy who took a program that has no business beating Oklahoma and TCU in the same year.
And they were, you know, you saw how close they were to beating Oklahoma State. They almost beat all three of those teams in the same season.
Yeah.
Just absurd.
Yeah. This is probably the most successful season in Iowa State history.
Yeah. It's up there for sure.
It's this guy.
Yeah, he's done a great job. He was very successful at Toledo before he got the Iowa State job. He's an up-and-comer, a young guy that would have the energy to hopefully turn around. I would like to see Nebraska be good again, in all honesty.
And this guy knows how to recruit to the Midwest,
which
is challenging.
Yeah, it is. You know, Toledo is in Ohio. Nebraska has to recruit a lot in Ohio now because they're not, you know, in the Big 12 anymore. So I think this would be a great hire for Nebraska. I think Scott Frost would be the best hire they could make, but, you know.
No, Matt Campbell's not a loss. Like,
no, this is a super good fallback plan. That leaves Iowa State open.
Yeah.
And so what we did with this one, you know, Iowa State just had one of their best seasons ever under a coach who came from Toledo.
Yeah.
So we thought, why wouldn't they just try it again?
Jason Candle.
From Toledo. Jason Candle basically just following Matt Campbell around now at this point.
Yep.
He was the offensive coordinator at Toledo under Matt Campbell. They decided to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually a guy that I was like pretty high on in terms when OU was looking for an offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I was honestly hoping they would hire him over Lincoln Riley, but we don't need to talk about that. I was wrong, obviously. I don't know how this would work, but Toledo has kind of kept doing their thing under him. You know, they've been successful under Jason Candle. So, you know, Iowa State, they just tried to do the same thing again because it worked the first time.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, that's fine. And Toledo hires Jason Candle's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, of course. It's
right.
A cycle.
It is. Ole Miss. So we did a dumb thing here.
We sure did.
But this would be by far the most interesting thing that
they
could do. Short of hiring Houston Nutt, which is actually too far out of the realm of reality for us to consider.
Yes.
Les Miles.
Yeah. So, to explain our logic here.
Yeah.
All right. Things obviously did not work out for them with their previous coach.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze.
The thing with Hugh Freeze, obviously, like, that's going to be remembered as kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
And usually, when a coach is a disaster, administrations run as far as they can from him. and go with pretty much the exact opposite, like, archetype of coach.
Yep. And we know Les Miles wants to get back into coaching. I think he would jump at the opportunity to coach at an SEC school, even if they are going to be under some sanctions.
Yeah. And it's Les Miles.
Yeah.
He's got a track record.
Yeah. He has been a successful football coach. He is a little bit old school, you know.
But that's good for Ole Miss right now.
Yeah,
like,
sure. I mean, I would make this hire, but yeah.
I mean, we're not – these people did hire Hugh Freeze, so.
They sure did. So, you know, he could probably get them going to, you know, middle of the pack team. It's tough to win at Ole Miss. They're in the toughest division in college football in terms of, like, recruiting competitiveness and just the talent in that division is just – it's really high, so
yeah, and it's good because so LSU Ole Miss is kind of a pretty serious rivalry, but it's also really one sided in terms of animosity,
right?
Like,
it's kind of like OU OSU, I would say, in terms
a little bit, yeah.
I mean, it's not that one sided, but
yeah,
Ole Miss, yeah,
yeah. So this would be fun,
yeah.
It would probably not be the best hire they could make,
no,
but this would be fun,
yep.
So, Ole Miss to Les Miles. Les Miles is coming out of Twitter.
Out of Twitter. So he's a great Twitter follow, guys. When he live tweets games, it's pretty Magic Johnson-esque. So.
Yeah. So, we don't have to replace Les Miles in that sense. Moving on.
We don't want to replace him on ESPN. We don't want to get another announcer.
Houston Nutt. That's where he goes.
Houston Nutt. That's great. Perfect.
Okay. So... we're moving on.
Let's do Oregon State real quick because it's easy.
Yeah. So Oregon State, this is such a no-brainer that this, if I were to say definitively that one of these things was going to happen, this one will happen. Mike Riley is going to Oregon State.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have left the first time.
Or the second time.
And so he's going to go back and try to fix what he left.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to try to fix the Gophers up.
He's going to take them to in and out.
Yep.
Over and over and over again.
And so that brings us to what I think is just the most absurd hire, like in terms of how incredibly huge it would be in the college football world.
Yeah.
Like, Arkansas at this point is open because Brett Bielema, they just fired their AD, like, they're screwed.
Yeah. Absolutely, Arkansas is done.
Yeah.
Brett Bielema is done at Arkansas, I should say.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Is that they might not have to look for a coach because a coach might come to them.
Yep. So we've got Gus Malzahn leaving Auburn and going to the Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy with Arkansas ties. You know, he coached in Arkansas high school football for a long time. So it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
Auburn is actually crazy as well.
Yeah.
You're leaving one crazy for another kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think his job security might be a little more strong at Arkansas because they would just be in love with him from the first minute
he got
there.
They absolutely would be. Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas if Auburn, if he doesn't have a good year next year, they could fire him.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Even after having
a good year
this year. Gus Malzahn has kind of been on the hot seat since he took them to a national title. Like,
yeah.
It's been really difficult to peg where they feel about him.
Yeah.
And this would probably be a stability move, if anything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure athletic director Barry Switzer would be fine with him there. That is not happening.
That would be amazing.
Gus Malzahn to Arkansas, which opens up Auburn. We did a dumb thing.
This is my favorite hire on the entire carousel. So at first, we just kind of forgot about this guy. And at first, we moved Will Muschamp here.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it kind of makes sense. But then I was just like, oh my God, we forgot the most obvious pick
ever.
This is
perfect. This is literally perfect.
It's got to be Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin at Auburn.
Yeah.
Lane versus Nick every year.
This would be incredible.
Yes.
It would be so good.
Yeah.
It would be so good.
Yep.
It would be a train wreck.
Sure.
It would be so good.
It needs to happen.
Yeah. Joey Freshwater needs to roam the plains of Auburn.
He sure does. Joey Freshwater against Nick Saban every year. They're not fans of each other.
No.
that's just what needs to happen. Yeah. Lane Kiffin also really good on Twitter.
Yeah. If you guys aren't aware. Lane Kiffin is kind of got this thing where he's just a jerk on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like,
it's incredible.
He's just like says like really like kind of mean things about his time at Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, he makes fun of it. Like, it's amazing that he's leaning into this.
And what better way to lean into it even more than to coach at Alabama's chief rival?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I could not be more in on this hire.
Yeah.
This would be incredible. And it wouldn't be the worst hire they could make.
No.
They could hire Will Muschamp.
That would be a worse one. Yep. We named a worse one.
Yeah. So, it kind of sticks with the idea that, you know, they need to be an explosive offensive school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lane Kiffin has, I mean, his FAU offense is really, really good right now. His Alabama offenses were really, really good.
Yeah.
So it makes some sense here.
It does make sense.
It probably wouldn't work, but who knows? Maybe Lane learned some stuff in his first couple go-rounds as a head coach.
Yeah, and like we have always been, and myself especially, huge proponents of the understanding that if you're doing anything in the SEC, if you're going up against Alabama, you just have to be different.
Yeah.
You can't attempt to do what they do better because you won't.
Nope.
So you got to go different, which means taking risks, which means hiring Lane Kiffin.
Yep. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
We did not fill the FAU job because we don't care.
Yeah. Probably something horrible like Kendall Briles getting that job will happen.
Oh my God, that would be awful.
Yeah. And
that would mean head coach Kendall Briles coming in to Norman next year for the first game of the season.
Which I'd be fine with.
With Chris Robinson starting at quarterback, hopefully.
Oh, God.
Big fan. Chris Robinson's still my iPad background, by the way, y'all.
Yeah. Side note, 2019 commit Spencer Rattler is currently leading Arizona high schools in punting.
He is. And I think he's the all-time Arizona high school leader in, like, touchdowns, and he's only a junior. So, he's really good.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good. He's
really
good. I'm excited about him.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that's, like, all the jobs that we are just, like, pretty sure are going to come open. And then we obviously filled the jobs that, of the holes that they left.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go to a couple jobs in the Big 12 that could very likely come open. I would say they probably will.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens tomorrow, I would say, with one of these jobs. But
yeah. So, the first...
And these are probably two of the least likely hires that we made in this entire thing. Yeah.
Let's start with the more likely one, which is, so, Kansas.
Hold on. I just realized we never filled UCF.
Oh, right. So, UCF, with Scott Frost going to Florida, UCF is going to hire Frank Wilson.
Yep.
According to us, who is the guy from UTSA.
Yep.
He's done a good job.
He is.
He's got ties. He's got really strong ties in the Louisiana area. He was an assistant head coach at LSU for 5 years. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's
go to Kansas.
Kansas. So Kansas. The thing about Kansas is that everybody loves Dave Beatty, but he's not doing a good job.
Nope.
So,
they're still about as bad as they were when he got there.
Which, you sort of end up in a situation in Kansas where you ask yourself, what do you do?
Right.
Because they've tried a lot of different things, and the only one that worked at all was Mark Mangino, and that's not good. You can't.
You can't hire him. No.
Yeah. So, this is entirely my brainchild. I'll take full credit for this if it happens, because this guy. Bob Stitt, out of Montana.
Yes.
Bob Stitt is an offensive genius. He is the brainchild behind pretty much everything Dana Holgorsen does. Dana Holgorsen was watching his film when he was at Colorado School of Mines. This is the guy who invented the fly sweep. This is, he is an offensive savant.
Mm-hmm.
And he is coaching at Montana because he doesn't want a coordinator spot.
Right.
He wants to be a head coach. And if Power 5 head coaching job comes open and offers him, he probably takes it, even if it's Kansas.
Yeah. It'd be fun. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Kansas, nothing else has worked. Just try something new. Just try something else. Hire an offensive genius from Montana.
Yeah.
and just see if it works. You got that. That's like the ultimate school. They have to be different.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's like they might even need to look into being an option team or something, but they cannot win doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Okay. They've got to be different. Unless there's just like a freak coach that they can get somehow, you know, which probably not.
No.
So yeah, Bob Stitt, and goes without saying, we're not going to fill Montana.
Okay.
So that leaves us, and this is by far the worst hire we've made.
Texas Tech. We had fun with this one.
Yeah, we did.
So Cliff, let's start with where Cliff goes.
Yeah.
Cliff fills that SMU spot, which actually works out really well.
It does.
It's just great. Like a little bit of a downgrade for him. Get him, keeps him in Texas,
yep.
where he's been successful recruiting offensively. Lets him, you know, moving out of... Because the thing about Texas Tech that we were realizing as we were trying to fill this is that it's kind of a death job.
Yeah.
You don't get promoted from Texas Tech.
Nope.
So, like...
This is a school that's probably experienced the most successful team they're going to have in that 2018.
Yeah, that is literally probably about as good as they will ever be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it. And they fired that guy.
Yeah.
And then they fired the guy that replaced that guy. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to fire the guy that replaced the guy that replaced the guy.
Yeah. And so what our thought process was is they've kind of alternated here. They went Mike Leach, and then they went opposite
Tommy Tuberville.
And yeah, they went Tommy Tuberville, and then they were like, well, let's go back to the Mike Leach tree with Cliff. And so we're thinking they're going to try to go opposite again. So we thought defensive guy.
Defensive guy, right. You're thinking a defensive guy, maybe a guy with some ties in the area. Familiar recruiting in Texas and in the Big 12. A guy who understands how to defend Big 12 offenses.
Sure.
Sorry, I
lied.
We
could say those words. They don't mean anything, but yeah.
A guy who has experience studying Big 12 offense, we'll say. A guy who has, you know...
He's been a head coach.
He's with head coach experience.
Yep.
We're talking Mike Stoops to Texas. Mike Stoops!
Stoops! Go get him. Come on, Tech. You know you want some Mike Stoops in your life.
Listen. He's done it before.
He's done it before. Let's get some Mike Stoops in Lubbock. Freaking fun would it be to be able to play against a Mike Stoops defense?
It would be. Do you ever think what practices are like?
Yeah.
You know, the best offense in history has to go up against that defense.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because one thing I think weekly, I'm just like, I wonder what this defense would look like with far less talent. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's Mike's problem here. Maybe he has too much talent.
You know? This is the thing, is that he needs to be forced to improvise, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be forced to be in a situation where he has to think about how to make it work.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, Tech's perfect, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. Listen, y'all are probably going to hire, like, Manny Diaz, so...
That's a garbage... Yeah. Give Mike a try. Let us know how it goes, Kirby. Because that's who would be making the hire, Kirby Hokut.
Yeah.
How funny would it be? Because
he spent the entire year trashing his defense on national television.
That just added an entire new level of hilarity to this hire.
Yeah.
Honestly, the reason why we put Mike Stoops here is because we couldn't really think of anybody that would take this job. Because the guy I think that Tech wanted the most kind of coaches Oklahoma now. So
Super does. You're not going to get him is the thing.
No.
I could see them making a run at Ruffin, but I don't want that to happen.
No.
Depending on how their settlement with Leach goes, eventually maybe Leach ends up back here, but not this year. It's too soon. It's still too soon.
And I think Leach and Wazoo makes sense.
It just works.
But yeah, give Mike Leach a try. And you know the good thing about this is we talked a couple weeks ago about how eventually we were going to do a podcast about who we thought could replace Mike Stoops.
Yeah.
And well, now there's an opening at the University of Oklahoma. at defensive coordinator. Yeah. So we have to do that podcast now. So we'll start doing some research.
Absolutely.
On some names. The research has already started.
Yeah. Honestly, if we want to talk defensive coordinators, of the coaches we left on the board, five of the six are defensive coordinators. So
yeah. Did not give a lot of love to the DCs around.
Well, technically Charlie is a head coach, but he's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
So we've got the coaches we didn't hire. John Gruden, you're welcome, Tennessee. Charlie Strong,
he's a year away.
This is
one more year at USF.
Cycle. Yeah. Brent Venables, who, I don't know.
I just don't think he's ever going to be a head coach.
There's a weird parallel between him and Bud Foster in that.
Yeah. Which that reminds me, did you see the report about what the hell is going on at Kansas State?
Yeah.
About how there was an agreement with Jim Levitt to become the coach, which I think would be a great hire for them.
That would be an incredible hire.
But Bill Snyder's like, no, you have to hire my son.
Which is, that's the fascinating thing about Bill Snyder, is that he built this program, and it kind of sounds like he's going to destroy it.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like he takes that family thing super seriously.
Yeah.
It's pretty unbelievable. And, you would think, Jim Levitt is a K-State guy.
Yeah.
He was on that staff with Bob Stoops.
That's the thing, is that, when we talk about Venables going somewhere, the only place that makes any sense is Kansas State.
Right. Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think Venables would take that job.
We also had Pete Kwiatkowski from Washington. He's just really good. Dave Aranda, LSU. Yeah. Greg Schiano, guy with a lot of coaching experience.
Yeah, he's going to go somewhere sometime. We don't know where.
Yeah, it's going to be weird, and it's either going to work or not.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's a weird dude, too.
You think he'll ever end up back at Rutgers?
Probably not. I don't know. It could happen. They were good when he was there, so... Yeah.
Well,
to see.
So that's the carousel.
Yeah, that's our carousel. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I love the Lane Kiffin and the Mike Stoops hire. That would just be ideal.
Yeah.
This would be a hell of an offseason in college football if this happened.
Oh, yeah. This would be incredible.
We kind of took care of the Mike Stoops problem,
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
You're
welcome, everybody.
Yeah. And, listen, seriously. I was joking, but y'all might hire Manny Diaz. That sounds like something dumb y'all would do.
Uh-huh.
So,
why not? I like how you said he has experience defending Big 12 defenses. Yep. Sure.
Those are words.
Yep.
You can say them in that order. All right. So that's going to do it for the Oklahoma drill. Everyone, have a good time watching us beat Kansas.
Oh, there was a set of googly eyes tweeted today.
There was a set of... So, yeah.
The only thing I know is it's probably 2019 class, so
okay. There's
that.
Yeah. So, we had a lot of guys announce that they were going to be signing in December yesterday. It's looking like, we're still going strong. Still lots of googly eyes all the time. All right. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts, honestly. You can, if you like the podcast, please feel free to leave us a review at one of those places. Generally, reviews do a really good job of improving the visibility of podcasts, so we'd appreciate it for sure. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Oklahoma_drill. You can follow us individually on Twitter at Alex P. Purdy and at RW Maxi. And the podcast has a site, oklahomadrill.org, which my semester's cleaning out, so maybe someday I'll write something again. And that'll about do it. We're out.